It's easy to get lost. This is The Revenue Maze, and I'm Valerie Cobb. Join me as we navigate the halls, dead ends, and U-turns on your path towards upward growth trajectory. The Revenue Maze is sponsored by Revenue North Star, guidance and execution through fractional revenue leadership, uncovering hidden revenues, and empowering small business growth through process-driven sales customized to your company environment.
Welcome, everybody, to another great episode of The Revenue Maze. You can hear the guest in the background, which is fabulous because I'm so excited about this guest. He is so much fun. And I can't even begin to tell you about his networking group, but we'll talk about that a little bit more. Right now, he's a bourbon and cigar connoisseur, and he's married with five children, count it, five, and he has one grandson, which is amazing. He is author and speaker and has done over 7,000, count them, 7,000 one-to-ones since August of 2014. And he is a word of mouth marketing specialist. I'd like for everyone to welcome CEO and founder of H7, Clay Hicks.
Hi there, Valerie. Thanks for having me. I just got done changing the tire.
I know, right? I'm so sorry to hear that. We were talking and I was like, oh my gosh, let's just, well, you are a little bit like Batman or Superman after I've talked to you. So changing a tire, then getting on a podcast, then running here and there. I mean, that's just one of the best things about you, Clay.
Thank you. Thank you. There's a reason why I have Batman all over the place. So he's my favorite.
Is he? Oh, okay. Okay, I got to know before we start the episode, which he is my favorite. Why is he your favorite? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah. So that would be The Dark Knight. Okay. And he's it has a lot to do with his the emotions that come with being that person and what all he felt he had to do, and there was a lot more backstory to it and all that stuff that kind of changed him and all that stuff. So plus a little bit longer, and it was just a much better story to me.
Yeah, than the wow zonk pow of the 70s, right? I mean, it was almost like hilarious. If any, maybe we should interject one of those scenes in the head. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I agree 100%. Okay, well, we always start, and we'll get into more of your history and your story and all the fun and exciting things. We always start with one show premise, and maybe in the next season I'll add to it or change it. I don't know. But right now it is The Revenue Maze. So what's one thing, Clay, that you can tell listeners and viewers that can help them get out of the revenue maze?
don't do it alone.
Don't do it alone.
Yeah.
Don't we all think we're a bit of a superhero in our own mind that we try to do it alone?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you've been in business for one day or 15 years, it's just very challenging to figure things out all by yourself. And I, for one, have so many great relationships in my corner that they're looking out for what's best for, of course, a little bit of me, but not really. It's more about the influence of everything that comes with that, right? And so that'd be my one thing.
All right. Well, give them – now, I know you have a ton of pointers, but we don't have, 5 months on the show to go through that. So maybe just for the show today, give one or two – examples of how people can not go it alone. Let's discuss that a little bit.
Sure. So what I mean by that is really, as an entrepreneur, it's easy for us to do things alone. And we even find ourselves doing it alone because somebody can't do it as good as us. and so There has to
be. You just talked about me. You can't do it as good.
I mean, I understand, like, we're all built, we have talents and strengths within us. And so, to me, we should try to find people that we can trust that do not share those strengths and talents, or there's some overlapping and they have greater strengths and talents in other places.
Yeah. So Clay, so there's a lot to unravel there, unpack there a little bit, because I think that sometimes what people do is there's an element of vulnerability there. You're like, find people with strengths and talents that you maybe is not your strength and talent, which means on the converse, in a very competitive society, you're actually admitting that maybe someone else does something better than you do. So how do you get past that?
Oh, man. I mean, the long and short of it is, honestly, like, it starts with knowing that. Like, just the understanding that about yourself, the awareness. It really starts with awareness, recognizing, wait a second, I may not have the talents for this. But then that comes after you learn that you don't have the talents for other things.
Yeah. Yeah. So it indicates somebody who's really willing to change for whatever the result is versus forcing the result within your little square box that might not work for what's happening. And I've seen that. We'll talk about your group in a minute, but you've discussed that a little bit, where some people will follow a prescriptive way of doing things and some people won't. And then the ones who, and not everything has to be prescriptive, I get it. And there's latitude in that prescription, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then some don't even come back. And then they're like, okay, I came back with my tail between my legs. Things are not working. Can you please help me? Give us some examples of that.
Oh my gosh.
How do you learn it?
How did I learn that? The hard way. I mean, you know, like I'm the type of person that I described you to. I described them already in this conversation. And so it really, I mean, I have so many stories. I got one for you. What led me to being a word of mouth marketing specialist? Okay.
Okay.
July 2014, getting ready to get married. I had four more mouths to feed to my responsibility. I had been a single father for 7 years, raising two little girls by myself for 7 years that led to this marriage, right? That was a huge change. And so at this moment, I think I can do it all by myself, right? You know, I can figure out how to take care of them. So I really did. I'm a man of faith, so I practiced that. And then I also really had a conversation with my wife. So I'm at that moment now seeking advice on how I fix a problem that I know I can no longer fix alone.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't simply know what to do. So I was hitting this wall.
Yeah.
And some might say an imaginary wall, but it was not imaginary to me. And so we decided that the best thing I could do is take action and meet with anybody for a one-to-one that I could. That's where it started.
Okay.
Well, I'm still going 9 years and 2 months later, and I'm 7,200 one-to-ones last week. Has changed everything. So think about that and how it has transformed my entire community because of it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good because of that. I was going to ask you, does everybody, I would assume anybody listening understands what a one-to-one is, but I just want to, so that people do not miss and misunderstand what Clay is talking about, it might be wise to at least just define what one-to-one means for some.
Yeah. So a one-to-one is a little bit of jargon for coffee, where two people meet up for coffee. Okay. That's really, really is to begin the formation of a potential relationship.
Yeah.
That's all I mean by a one-to-one. Meet up one-on-one or one-to-one for coffee or whatever for a time, period of time, 30 minutes to an hour, where they start to form a relationship, if that's possible, yeah, between those two people.
So you have met 7,000 people that you have tried to at least see if it's possible to develop a relationship with.
Yep. And after so long, now it's become more like, I'm for sure going to be your relationship if you need something.
Yeah.
But not everybody do I meet with will be mine, right? Yeah. In some way or another.
Yeah. Well, and it's the fact that you're pioneering out there to say, let's have that human interaction and let's do it in a manner that honors time and value, right? Yeah. Honors that time commitment and value. It isn't just, hey, can you meet so I can do a sales pitch on you? In fact, you have a very funny favorite slogan that I would love for you to say versus me.
Okay. Well, you must be talking about the no pitch slapping.
This is a no pitch, no pitch slapping. Yes.
Yeah, pitch slapping's a dangerous thing, man. Dangerous thing. Everybody across from you is a human being. Got to value them.
And it's so funny that people compartmentalize personal life and business life and think that business life one-to-ones are pitch slapping and personal life one-to-ones is engaging. But the goal is still some very similar, whether it's personal or not. I blur the lines because you've got to care about humans, period. And now that we're in a time of AI, that's even more imperative. But I was reading Michelle Lederman's The Connector's Advantage, and some of the people who live the longest and happiest, and that's because they're happy, is the human connection.
Yeah.
And there's a stat behind it. So you're literally employing, hey, I need to get out there. I need to meet people. I need to not pitch slap people. I need to develop relationships with people. And then as human beings, we can work through to solve a multitude of problems. That's what you're saying, whether it's personal, whether it's business, etc.
Yeah. I like to say that pitch slapping is not it's more like a learned behavior, or not even like not knowing what they're doing, but the way they understand the complexity behind an appointment apparently is where that's somebody and I need to sell something. So you might as well be the person.
So I'm just going to slap you. I feel like I'm seeing a fishtail slapping somebody in the face. Hey, I'm meeting you the first time. Slap, 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 slap. Let me vomit all over you. That's what we call it, feature benefit vomiting. Let me make you get a gazillion emails. Here's how the email goes. It says, I can help you. I can do this. I can do that. I can fill your pipeline with $83 million. I can. And you're like, okay.
Especially like on LinkedIn, right? They just sent you a LinkedIn request, Valerie. And then in their message says, I can get you 83 leads a month.
Yeah. Like,
we should totally meet and I can guarantee it and all this other stuff. And you're like, I'm sorry, what's your name?
With my unique LinkedIn software tool that will do everything yourself. My mom used to say, didn't you know that anything that's easy and unique and free, there's some kind of weird catch to it.
Well, what's really sad about it is how you do one thing is how you kind of do everything.
Uh-huh.
So getting those kind of messages in a social media site or meeting up with somebody and they do that, it's one thing to not know what you don't know.
Yeah.
But if people aren't responding after your fifth person you met with and you're trashing them and they're not responsive, And you should probably look at what maybe you don't know, you know?
Yeah.
A little bit of awareness, you know, maybe.
Just whisper EQ 2.0.
That's right.
Is that even train AI in EQ 2.0? I'm not sure.
Amen to that.
All right. Well, let's get in. No pitch slapping and everything else. Let's get into a little bit. You talked about going in, you know, getting out of the revenue maze and having those one-to-ones. And let's talk a bit about kind of what got you. You talked about a little bit about what got you into this. You were being vulnerable. You had some children you were raising by yourself, which is commendable. I can't believe it. And and then you met your wife, and you've had 7,000 one-to-ones. Not all are meaningful. We all know that. Sometimes that's the case. But you definitely, I mean, for people to get out of the revenue maze, they can't just go and say, I'm just going to connect and have all these one-to-ones. So give us a little more about that, and then we'll get into H7 a little bit.
Sure, sure. So what I'd like to share is focus on earning trust so that like and no follow. Okay? Now that's complex just a touch. Most of us are used to building a relationship under the pretense of like, know, and trust. So if we like, know, and trust each other, we have a relationship of some sort, right? Yeah. And so the average person goes out and they build relationships in that exact order. Like, oh, Valerie, you're so nice, so great, and you live here, and that's great, so I know you a little bit better. And then over time, Valerie, and over time, I mean over time, and we'll begin to trust each other.
Yeah.
And so focus on trust and focus on earning trust. Like every word in that, focus on earning trust, will speed up the relationship building process if you apply the techniques of connect, serve, and ask.
Okay. So trust is a huge issue today. And many of us who want a relationship at the speed of a microwave instead of a boiling pot, right?
Yeah.
It's true. I'm guilty, not of just a relationship, but, you know, I want my workout to be done in 1 second, but have the ramifications of an hour a day workout, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
we either do a pill or we turn the microwave on or whatever. So let's talk a little bit. Inherently, your whole thing, your whole foundation is built on trust. And so I guess I would ask the question, number one, why does that serve people?
Because it's one of the main ways that you earn trust with others is actually trying to help them and following through with that help.
Following through with that help. Because the other side, the dependency, the side that says I am not dependent, says I will not do what I say I will do, which then says the opposite of trust, right? So
yeah.
I do love how you kind of unpack that so that people understand it, because I think it's kind of like the word faith. People just kind of grapple and go, well, what does trust mean? I don't trust anybody, or I don't trust, you know. But we know that people, let's go to the business realm. We know that people buy from people they trust and like. You can't say, hey, trust me, because that is one of your first indicators of lack of trust, right?
Yeah.
When I see that on a tagline, I'm like, that's going to be hard, because trust is an emotion that's earned versus
that's right.
Emotion that is just paid for.
That's right.
I can go get a massage, but doesn't mean I trust that person.
That's right. Well, you know, and then people, like, when you think about it, you know, you have to So when you're focusing on learning trust, you do need to connect with that person as well before that. Like you can't say, hey, Valerie, it's nice meeting you today. How can I help you? That comes across weird. Mm-hmm. And it puts people back and it makes them feel uncomfortable. Like, what makes you think I need help?
Uh-huh.
Right? And you're like, well, I don't need any help. What do you mean? I don't even know who you are. Right. So the focus on earning trust is that key element that says you're going to spend some time. You're going to value your time with that other person, and you're going to value that other person.
Yes.
It's really what it is.
Yes. And I think value becomes more intentional, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that another thing that is really core to what we're having discussion today is so many in the noisy world of digital recognize the lack of intentionality.
Yes.
You know, it is, if somebody actually lands on my digital website and agrees with me, great, then we move forward because it comes, right?
Yeah.
But that's the impersonal side of it. So when you add to the equation 7,000 one-to-ones, you're being very intentional with the human connection.
Yeah.
And then the regurgitation of people asking the words, can I help you? No one is going to say, yes, you can help me. They're not until you've gotten some kind of, I believe that this person will do what they say they are going to do, with the whole actions speak louder than words kind of thing. It's very, very, very true. If you're constantly coming back and following through with what you say you're following through with, then they know the result.
Because
there's a result, whether we like it or not, there's a result, but it may not be what you wanted.
Yeah, of course. Well, in the trust earning phase, when I said, you know, you offer to help and value them, and then you got to follow through.
Yeah.
Like that piece of following through, you know, it just completes it. Okay, we trust each other a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And if we concentrate on that and valuing other people's time, well, first of all, we got to value our own time. We have to value ourselves, like mm-hmm. in what we're doing as entrepreneurs or salespeople and how we're spending time. Then we can actually value other people's time or value them. So it's a little bit of confidence, self-love, whatever kind of words you want to use there. I'm sorry, I'm not a great wordsmith in that arena, but I will say that if you don't value yourself, how are you going to value other people? So that's
true.
You know, that plays a role too.
You know, and it's kind of in your kind of setting, you don't really ask people. So here's the other side of it. When you say to somebody, let's say, for instance, we were talking about your tire that you have to go fix, you know, if you ask the question, how can I help you? The first response is, I don't need anything. I'm fine. Thanks. Have a great day.
But if
you ask somebody very specifically, can I help you get your tire changed? They kind of go, wait, this person knows I need my tire changed. So can I help you with whatever it is? And there's a whole discovery process that has to happen even prior mm-hmm. to that. In your ones-to-ones, so there's where the time starts to get more, you know. You won't know about the tire if all you do is say, let's have a one-to-one and off you go.
Yeah, so I have this, some people call me this super connector or master connector or whatever.
It's a superpower.
Yeah. Actually, my superpower. So it comes from the act of listening that has to be done when you're getting to know somebody. It comes from the desire mindset that I value their time, I value my own, and I'm not coming in and saying, Valerie, looks like you need some help. So I'm saying, so tell me about yourself and all these things that come in before the earning of the trust. Because, you know, in sales training and stuff, like you've heard, building rapport and all that stuff. So all that stuff really does matter. But I just wanted to tell you, like, that the active listening, the paying attention, the focusing, all those things play a role. You can't really do that well if you don't do that well for yourself.
Yeah, well, building rapport is all those things. That's the thing. A lot of times in sales training, and I'm not just sales focused, but a lot of times in sales training, it will say build rapport, have a relationship.
Yeah.
But those are very broad categories right there. How do you build rapport? How do you build the relationship? And it really is no different than how would you build a relationship with your children? How would you build a relationship with your friends? How would you do that if by definition selling is solving a need and a challenge, then why wouldn't you understand that building rapport requires a time commitment, a value transfer, all of those things? Because I remember, and I cite this a lot, but I remember when a friend of mine said, there's this great book. It's the Challenger Sale. You got to read it. I think it's What You've Been Doing. And I'm like, what? And I'm reading it. And I remember thinking, oh yeah, this is really great. I can train all my sales reps and I can train other, you know, I can run in and talk to people. And it was so amazing to me how many salespeople gave pushback on that, because Matt Dixon puts in categories the challenger seller versus the relationship builder, and he qualifies what the term is for each of them, but they don't even read the term. They don't even read the definition. They come back and they go, well, I'm a relationship builder and there is no way. And they're the bottom performer and this book is crap, you know? And I remember thinking to myself, did you read the definition? And that's kind of with you with H7. Some of them, just saying those words, like yours, you know, when we say connecting and asking and connecting, serving and asking, you know, and some of those things, when you're saying that, they're very broad topics, but you have a very specific solution for what that means and every action you should be taking.
That's right.
When you go through that. So kind of go through that a little bit, because H7, for those who don't know, it's a networking group, very friendly group. Very fun group, just simply because they really do honor each other's time and value each other. So go ahead, Clay. There's your shameless push.
So you want me to talk about Connect, Serve, and Ask or H7? Sorry. Which one?
Oh, just Connect, Serve, and Ask. Those are broad topics within your H7 community that you have very specific definitions for how people should be behaving.
Yeah. So with Connect. Okay. We definitely must connect before serve. So basically connect before help, right?
Yeah.
So that's important. We must be relatable.
Yeah.
Now, some of us are challenged with that, and that's okay.
I'll raise my hand. Sometimes I'm going to
admit it. Well, in that being relatable comes with being empathetic, like listening, right? And all this stuff. And then, you know, we got to be, you know, a good active listener, right? We got to make sure we're listening to what they're saying. And then when we talk, we don't talk so much, but what we say is valuable to the other person and relatable, right? You know, if you and I were trying to connect and you said, well, I'm from Idaho, right? That's where you're from? Is it Idaho?
Right now, I'm from all over, but right now it's Idaho.
All right. So if you said you were from Iowa, if you and I were doing a one-to-one, the wrong way to do it is say, oh, okay, that's where you're from. Okay, cool. This is what I do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just completely like didn't hear nothing you just said and I just wanted to talk.
Yeah.
All right. So that's how you connect. Now there's more to it, but that's in list form, the best of my ability there. When it comes to serving. So when you serve, you genuinely desire to seek to serve that other person. So be of service. So asking them how you can help, how you can pitch in, who, you know, how's business going, all of these things. So connecting somebody is not always what they need. Adding value to them is, though. right? Okay. And yeah. So trying to serve them, right? So how can I help you? It's a great question. Who would you like to meet is another great question. How's business going? You know, because maybe you don't have a lot of connections, so you can help in any way you can. Your expertise, your history, your talents, you can help in other ways. And then lastly is asking. Now, the majority of our community has the problem of asking. They sure do. Okay.
Yeah.
And so if you have connected before you served, and then you have served before you ask, the other person typically actually wants to help you back. It's not that they feel obligated. They just feel like they want to help you back.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes people, they do what's called ask rambling. Don't do that.
Ask rambling. I'm going to remember
ask
that.
Rambling. So you want to be specific with your asks around industry, companies you want to meet. You want to make it easy on somebody else to help you. That's the deal. Make it easier on somebody else to open that door for you. Now, I just want to leave it with this, though, with the connect, serve, and ask. Number one, it's okay to ask because it gives the other person a chance to earn your trust. And you don't want to take that power away from them.
Okay.
Number two, connect, serve, and ask doesn't just work in one-to-ones. It works in your office with your colleagues. It works at home with your friends. It of course, works in your one-to-ones. So it works across the board.
Well, it is by definition really relatable, and it is, I can't say just definition, but it is the true sense of connection, right?
Yeah.
Because you're actually, I think a lot of us wander through this world with a lot of acquaintances and colleagues. Nobody gets in deep enough. I remember I was moving into a house and my mom said the local religious community, she said, you know, they just want to get to know you. And that's if you let them help you, they get to know you because you talk about things. You talk about, you know, the history. Where did somebody mentions a little artifact and says, I really like it. And it's like, well, why do you like that? And, you know, you just, it's like openers. And I know, especially post-COVID, I think a lot have lost a skill of connection. You know, and it has been, you can do it virtually, and I'm not saying it has to be in person, but it's sort of that, it's like you're the antithesis of hit and run behavior, you know, because it's so intentional, right? It's, and that's why I love the no pitch slapping, because it doesn't matter if it's business or not. It's like when your teenage kid comes home and you said, did you like school today? Yes. Versus, so what did you learn today at school? You know, you get a more than a single syllable answer. You know, and then you can dive a little deeper and actually think about that other person. That's what I loved about it and why I wanted you on the show. So then there's another aspect to this. So you learned that you could do these one-to-ones and you learned this amazing formula that actually has you intentionally listening and helping others. So
right.
How did H7 come about?
Well, so I had started H7 in 2008.
Mm.
So one-to-ones didn't start like, now I have done previous one-to-ones. It's just, I didn't start keeping record until August of 14. So for 8 years, I did one-to-ones. I met with people in a very casual way.
Yeah.
And so H7, why I started it is see a need, fill a need, right? Mm-hmm. Why I still do it is because of the connect, serve, and ask, because of the one-to-ones, the things that I've learned. Doing all of those one-to-ones has given me purpose in life.
Yeah.
Like I know, you know, there's two greatest days on earth, right? Do you know what days those are?
No, you tell us.
The day you were born and the day you find out why. Yeah. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm still working on that why. So I guess I've only had the one greatest day.
Well, I mean, you know, I have worked tirelessly trying to be a better person, you know. And so, fun fact, my purpose in life is to value others by lifting them up, uniting them, and taking no credit.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, that fun fact is because all three of those items I did not do so well with in my 20s.
Does anybody?
No.
Isn't the 20s all about you?
It sure was. It sure was. Yes, it was. So, but it was destructive behavior. It wasn't lifting people up. It was a complete opposite of who I was. So my purpose in life turned out to be at least opposite of who I was younger, in my younger years.
Now, lest anybody listening in their 20s, no, not everybody in their 20s is self-serving. I know that I was a bit self-serving when I was 20, so I can say that. And so just saying, I don't want to get.
Yeah, I was the same way. So you're speaking, I'm with you. But we all have our different paths, you know, whatever that path is. And so H7 has become much larger than I ever really could have imagined, honestly. So at one point, like when I first started, I had this vision that I would bring H7 global.
Yeah.
And for years, I thought, what the heck? Like, how am I going to take this global? I was just meeting in person in Cincinnati back then. But I felt like I was called to do that. And now we have members in, 11 countries, And so, and all by word of mouth. We don't spend money on marketing dollars. I mean, how bad would it sound if we grew by word of mouth? I trained on word of mouth. I'm sorry. If I trained on word of mouth, but I didn't do what I'm preaching, And so how we got there is because of the relationships. Uh-huh. And all the insight that people had been sharing with me, helping me all along the way. That's how we got here. That's how I learned it. Is I didn't know everything, and I still don't know everything, and I'm still a student of it, which is why it says specialist, not expert.
I don't have expert on anything. So I was talking to someone earlier today, and I said, well, the day I get a PhD and I'm an expert is going to be a really interesting day, because I'm like you. I am learning every day, one foot in front of the other, learning every day. So,
yeah. It's pretty exciting. Then H7 has just been an expression of valuing others, and our culture says that. Mm-hmm. The great people in the community say that, and you're one of them, of course. And when you look around the room, like, they seem to really care about other people too and their success as well. You can see it when we celebrate, like, our leaders. Like, we celebrate we endorse or celebrate our leaders that are running these groups on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Well, we do that because we should. We should endorse them. They're great people. And that's really what H7 is valuing everybody in the community. You won't believe, like, some of the stuff I've been through with some people that are in the same industry as I am. And so I'm very, very familiar with all that. So,
yeah, I unfortunately, I as well, and there's times where, we're fortunate in that we get to kind of pick our path, but I've seen a few listless lives out there at companies that are just coming in for the grind, and they go home from the grind, and, and that's very difficult. But anyway, it's certainly interesting, and it's one of the things I think people crave is that genuineness and the ability to formulate those genuine connections, especially after COVID. I think that's been a very difficult. I run a children's group of over 50 children, and I have found that so many lack that connection other than their parents, you know, and these are aged 18 months up to 11 years old. So this isn't teens, this is children. And I find that they starve for it. They want to twirl. They want to show you what they made and how they made it and how well they did on their soccer team that day and whatever it was. And they're craving that connection. And I think that the parents during that COVID time kind of also lost the ability to figure out how to do connections with that. And so it's been an interesting, I'll have to, in 10, 15 years from now, I'll have to go back and see which ones were successful and which ones I may have done damage on. I don't know. But awesome. Yeah, I mean, we even set up a little speaker form to teach them how to speak. You know, these little kids that are 3 to 5 years old are getting up doing little speeches, you know, and it's just kind of, it's fun to see their interactions. And it's the same kind of thing when you get on a H7 group. They're very genuine. They're not large groups. They are intimate groups, and they're in those industries. So that you'd be interested in, because you cover, you're agnostic. You guys cover almost every industry out there.
by the way, recently, I got to tell you, I found a new consultant and a new fractional. You ready for this?
Okay.
There is such a thing as a fractional chief product officer.
Yes, of course.
I didn't know that. Oh. I've spent zero time in corporate America. I've worked in a steel mill in my early 20s. And so I don't have a college degree. So I never did any, I didn't know that stuff existed. And then I met one today that is a product officer, but she's more of a consultant. So I'm like, holy cow, there's so many different professions.
You could put a chief to anything. I remember when chief people officer came out, chief evangelist came out, chief. So not belittling what you were saying, it was like, well, of course there would be, right? Because there's a chief of anything. That's why we have the CXO designation, right? Because if you really think about it, it's like, well, it's a C-level. Well, what does C-level really mean? You know, it doesn't matter if you call them a chief, you call them a director. If you're top of the, you know, you're working with the CEO and you're a director, okay, and they don't have any chiefs. I don't know. I think that's what we could get into a whole new podcast on what chiefs are, right?
Yeah. Then we could have
to hear that today.
Well, we could also get into a podcast about too many chiefs, not enough Indians.
Right? I think my brother used to always say, there's too many bums in the tub. We'll put it that way. Which means no one's getting clean.
But I think we have, I think we've done a good job of talking about how revenue in relationships, that correlation between those two are very important. You can sell the crap out of anybody. You can sell, you know, a popsicle to a Eskimo or whatever. And if you don't have relationships, eventually that will end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it does. There's a whole rates on churn from companies. There's whole new roles. Years ago, we just said customer service. Now they're customer success because they have to make it through the cycles, et cetera. And wow. So, you know, you've got all of those roles that came about a few years back because of the churn rate. They won't come back. They won't repeat buy. They won't repeat do anything. And it's really hard in this generation of 5 million gazillion lead generators out of there to actually get a valid quality lead. So you better keep hold of the ones you do have.
value them a lot.
Because your customer acquisition cost is skyrocketing, and there's no shortcut, no boiling the pot quickly in the microwave world. But so Clay, How can people get a hold of you? I mean, this has been an amazing episode, and I'm so grateful. I always say I'm grateful for people who get on this show. So how can they get a hold of you? What's the best way to check into what you're doing?
Yeah. So I would say connect with me on LinkedIn. So it's under Clay Hicks, not Clayton. And I'm in Dayton, Ohio, and there's not another Clay Hicks in there, so we should be good.
Until tomorrow.
There's a dentist, I think, in Ohio, but that's about as close as we get. So you should be able to find me there. Of course, you can email me at clayton@h7network.com. But also, I recommend that you go check out the H7 website, h7network.com, and make sure you don't type in H7 networking or h7networks.com. Yeah. It's H7 Network is what it is. And you can reach me through all of those paths. And if you're interested in doing a one-to-one to the audience, if you're interested in doing a one-to-one, would love to do one. I value everybody, or as many as I can, right, that's coming at me. So I got to make sure I'm valuing all of them. And so if you want to do a one-to-one, be happy to do that with you. And so let's do it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you so much. And that's very, very, very true. Clay does take one-to-one. So, you know, yeah. And we could do a whole nother show on how many you get spammed with. But at this point, that it has served and it has done well. And thank you so much for everybody listening and watching. Share some love to Clay and the H7 group, because it really is a fabulous group. And thank you again for joining us today, Clay, on another episode of The Revenue Maze.
Thank you for having me, Valerie. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to connect with you more, as well as be on this podcast with you. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for joining another great episode. Hats off to all you small businesses out there. I can't wait for the next episode.